In this edition of the TWBC podcast, we interview not one, not two, but three members of the Ross family who compete in international tournaments throughout the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Drew, Neely, and Charlie Ross coming up next.
The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and I thank you once again for your continued support. Now, when it came to conjuring up an idea for a podcast episode, I was thinking originally, why not interview Charlie Ross? Because I haven't interviewed him before. So, Charlie Ross, introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi. I'm Charlie Ross.
All right, then I thought, why not, instead of just one Ross, how about two Rosses? Maybe Neely Ross to join him as well. Say hi to the good folks.
Hi, everyone, and thanks, Tony.
And then I thought, why not the entire family, save for one? Drew Ross, how are you doing, sir?
I'm well, Tony, although I'm disappointed I wasn't your first choice.
Well, I'm sure you'll get over it. So, first of all, congratulations, Charlie Ross, Pan American champion in the U17s. Pretty pleased with that effort out there.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Yeah, it felt pretty good. It's one that I've been training for a while now, and it was one that I really, really wanted to win. So it felt good to go out there and do it.
And obviously, you're focusing in upon the Junior Worlds coming up in January, right?
Yeah, so it'll be at this lake as well. So it felt good to come out, ski here, and ski well. So definitely the training for the next couple of months will be focused on Junior Worlds.
And a member of this table that has skied the Junior Worlds before to some degree of success is Neely Ross. So any advice that you can offer to your younger brother going forwards with that?
Yeah, I got to ski in a couple Junior Worlds, and honestly, they're the best experience. I miss being able to compete in them, so I know he'll do great.
Excellent stuff. And let's focus in a little bit on Drew, because obviously you're beaming, you're smiling, you're immensely proud of what Charlie has done out there on the water in the Pan American Championships. We're conducting this interview here in Lago Los Moros in Santiago de Chile, but It's a bit of a conflict from you from two camps. Obviously, you're the father, and you are also a national coach for Canada as well. So you kind of got to split your priorities a little bit to a certain extent towards your son on one hand and the rest of the team members on the other, I would say.
Well, Canada's a close group, and it's not the first time where we've relied on family members who are coaches. And, you know, in this circumstance, it's fortunate. Charlie's a slalom specialist. And so, you know, in five of the six events, we haven't got conflict. And in the one that we do, Charlie's super close with his teammates. And, you know, honestly, we want to see each athlete go out and just ski to their full potential. And that's our job, is to help them do that.
Indeed. Obviously, you coached up your kids tremendously well on the slalom course. But one thing I wanted to talk to you and you especially, Neely, is the whole tricking thing. Because if I was to pick a trick skiing coach out of anyone in the world, I wouldn't necessarily pick you, Drew, if I'm being honest. But yet, Neely is one of the finest trickers on the planet. We've already won world championship under a belt.
Well, I think I'm going to start. Tony, that just shows your poor judgment. I'll let Neely take it now.
No, I started tricking when I was 8 years old. I got my first trick ski on my 8th birthday. And yeah, my dad and my mom really dove right in and really helped me achieve all of my goals, because tricking was something that I really did fall in love with very quickly. And of course, it was after I was already slaloming for 6 years. But my dad taught me pretty much everything, and even my mom knew absolutely nothing about tricks, but she also dove right in. She was a ballet dancer, so she taught me a lot in toes. She was always super, super hard on me, and they taught me to be super disciplined. And yeah, they were great coaches. They still are.
And I think, in fairness, my passion going back to my roots as a kid in skiing was tricks. And we lived on a large body of water, actually Lake Ontario. And my brother and I tricked for hours and hours. You know, I was 6'4", by my mid-teens. And so I wasn't ideally suited to be winning world titles or any titles in tricks. And we had some formidable competition in Canada. We had Matt Rini, and we had Jarrett Llewellyn and Craig Llewellyn and lots of other good names. So, you know, they pushed, and I definitely tried hard. I definitely worked hard, and I got quite good.
Yeah.
It was my passion. And so when Neely fell in love with tricks, it was really a blessing for me, because I got to really invest my love in, you know, for the sport, for the discipline in Neely. And like Neely said, my wife Lee, as a dancer, just had this incredible sort of magnetic draw to tricks, because she's very, very detail focused with posture and things. And so, especially in toes, I mean, Lee was just like, she studied it and really became keen on perfecting it with
Yeah.
Neely.
And something a lot of people don't know is your PB was over 8,000 points, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. My PB was 62.40 or 62.90.
Okay, well,
Uncle Doug's PB was, I think, about that.
That was when flips were 1,000 points apiece.
So Uncle Doug,
No, that's not true either, Tony. And I did have a flip and a run, but it wasn't pretty anyway.
And no doubt Neely's are infinitely better looking than yours. And I'm still trying to get this image in my head of you tricking behind a boat on a body of open water under the shadow of the Rogers Tower or something like that in Toronto, you know. But let's go to Charlie a little bit, because we just had this little conversation of tricks. I've never seen you trick. Have you ever harbored that desire to trick, and what was going on there?
Yeah, so I tricked until I was around 15 years old. Actually, my deal with my dad was when I ran 39, I was able to quit tricks. You know, I didn't have the same passion for it as my sister Neely. You know, I was never that great at it, and I cut a lot of edges.
Didn't you trick 4.6?
Yeah, I tricked 4.6 or 44.
44 or something.
Yeah.
44.60 maybe.
You know, I wasn't a terrible tricker, but I definitely always wanted to spend my time on the water with a slalom ski.
So after that glorious weekend at Swiss Pro, you said goodbye to that trick ski once and for all.
Exactly, yeah.
And how did you feel about that, Neely? Because, I mean, you're deeply passionate about tricks, and, you know, do you feel we could have explored a deeper potential there beyond where he was?
Well, Charlie very quickly was, you know, like this tall, lanky kid. I wouldn't say he has the exact body type of a tricker, but he's an incredible slalomer. He really has a great passion for it, and we're going to do everything we can to support that. And you have put on your trick ski since you quit at Swiss, and it was to double trick with me and to record me from the side.
Doing video.
Doing video for me. So Charlie's always supported me. We want to support him.
Excellent stuff. And just continuing on a little bit, moving away from tricks a little bit. We'll return a little bit later on, naturally, because we'll take a deep dive with that. But Charlie, I mean, over the last few weeks, I mean, you have been getting into 10.25 meters on a consistent basis. You have a pending world record with 4. You know, I mean, how do you do it? I mean, how do you stay that consistent for a skier of your age being under 17?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of training on the water, and then also a lot of studying off the water. You know, I think that's a tool that a lot of skiers, you know, with new technology, it's a tool that we can utilize. And you know, I'm fortunate to be able to study a lot of great skiers that have come before me and are still here, and yeah, a lot of other principles that I like to follow. But
that kind of study of slalom skiers extends to just a few minutes ago, because I mean, you rode in the boat and had a look at the Nate Smith slalom for a few passes in practice, right?
Yes, we were. I rode for Nate, and that's something I always love to do. You know, I get to watch a lot of his videos, but riding in the boat's always something special. And you know, we were talking about prior to him skiing, we were talking about the first time that I rode for him slalom, which, or rode for a slalom set of his, which was around 2015-ish. And, you know, over the past year, I've gone to ski with him a little more. And so being able to ski, ride in the boat for him today was, it was pretty cool.
Did you ever get to see some of this guy's antics on the Pro Tour?
Yeah, I was able, I've gone back and watched a bunch of his videos, and then obviously being able to ski with him a bit. You know, he doesn't ski as much as he used to now, but, you know.
Your take on that, Drew?
Oh, I think that's about right. Charlie and Neely got to, I think the last pro event that I skied in was 2008 at Charleston.
Yeah.
And
it was at night.
It was
under
at night,
lights.
The final. And Neely, who won that tournament?
You did. Yeah.
What did I run?
It was between you and Will Asher.
Okay.
It was at 41 off.
Okay.
I remember it.
And how many buoys did I get? No, I didn't get four. I got three.
Three.
And how many buoys did Will get?
Two.
Actually, no, that's not true. Will got four, although he missed his entrance gate. So I did beat Will at that tournament, but Will just about had it. Anyway, I was 38 years old at the time, and I was quite beaten up. And, you know, that's what, 14, 15 years ago now. And so I'm more beaten up, to say the least. But I try to ski. I like to ski a bit, but my focus is working with them.
No doubt, no doubt. And I mean, I want to go back to you a little bit, because I mean, I was actually at a number of Pro Tour stops in the late 90s into the early 2000s, and I saw you skiing a whole bunch of record capability tournaments. So obviously you alluded to the fact that you were beat up, but was that the main reason that you decided, I'm done skiing, I need to focus on something else?
I mean, I was 38, I had injury, and
Where specifically?
The final injury was an ankle, a foot, and the talus bone. And I actually had a surgery with a graft from bone from the hip.
Yeah, because you had a plantar fasciitis, didn't you? For the 2009 World Championships in Calgary, and you decided not to ski in that because of that foot injury. Wasn't that right? Or am
more
I
or less?
Fixing,
more,
yeah, or less.
More or less. I think I went on the water, but I wasn't capable of really skiing. But I had a bone graft from the hip into the left foot. And the left foot was the rear foot, so I was really lacking in dorsiflexion, and it was a problem. So I needed it. It needed several years to be able to gain mobility. And you know, it's a bit of a... The procedure was quite strange. It actually... They put a wedge of bone into the talus. And
That just hurts just thinking about it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right then. So moving forward, obviously your attention turned to your kids, Neely Ross first of all, and Charlie Ross second. So far as where their directions turned towards a tournament water skiing, was there anything that you learnt in your career and your endeavours in pro skiing that you imparted upon them going forward as they move forward?
Oh, I think lots of things. I mean, learning to compete is a lifetime. And, you know, I got to see a lot of different skiers, ones with lots of success and ones with some success. And, you know, not always the most talented had the most success. And, you know, but there were some common threads. And I think I've had a really good look at things and been able to, you know, offer guidance to Neely and Charlie as they move along. And I think they've been good listeners.
Okay. I'll go towards that. So far as being good listeners, Neely, any of his early advice that you've taken on board and still utilize to this day?
For sure, I've learned a lot from my dad. My dad's always taught me. Like, I remember when I was little, and even at the 2009 World Championships, I got to forerun that tournament. So that was something that was a really cool moment for me.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was something that was really cool for me. And I remember being super nervous right before I went out and foreran the competition. And he told me, how many more tournaments do you want to do for the rest of your life? And I was thinking, well, hopefully hundreds, thousands maybe, I don't know. He said, okay, that's great. You're going to be nervous for all of them. So you might as well just go out there and roll the dice and see how it goes.
And what about you, Charlie? Any of his early advice or even latter advice that he's imparted to you that you've continued to utilize?
Yeah, I think it's everything. You know, over the past couple months, getting into pro events, I mean, they're nerve-wracking. And so the sets before have been, they're stressful sets. And I think over the past few events, they've become less and we've learned to deal with them. And that's 100% due to the training that we've done and the mental game that he's taught me. And, you know, growing up, the foundation that he was able to teach me not to develop as many bad habits and just to learn the correct way, sort of, you know, I learned skiing all through him. And so,
okay, as important as it is to appreciate and take in the good, some lessons can also be learnt from some of the not so good experiences. I make reference to you, Charlie. Last year at the World Championships of 2021, things went sideways for you there in that particular tournament. And we won't delve too much into the performance, more into the aftermath, because I'm sure that you leant upon your father and your sister for advice going forwards and for continuing support and maybe learn something from that situation.
Yeah, it was just, you know, those are things that you have to remember. You can't take for granted. You have to always, you know, those are high pressure moments, and if you have flaws, they're going to be exposed. So, you know, I overturned a six ball and it ended up costing me. So now I've learned to sort of calm that down. And funny enough, that's not the first time I've done it at a high pressure event. I did it at Nationals as well. But those are hard lessons that you have to learn, and we learned them. I learned them fairly hard.
And those were the national championships over at Chillon Park, weren't they, this season, right?
No, in Calgary, I was like 11.
When you're in 11, okay, so I mean, that extended all the way back. Now, any similar situation to that in your skiing career, Neely, that I see a little bit of a head nodding from Charlie and from Drew here, so obviously this is a question that with a well-anticipated answer.
Well, you learn something at every single competition you go to. Whether you win or you lose, you're always going to learn something good and something maybe not so good. That's something that Buescher, every single competition we ever went to, whether I was walking away with a win or a lose or whatever it may be, there were always little lessons he would teach me. So, yeah.
If I can comment back on that, I got a text from Buescher last night saying you learn so much from international events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's your response to all of that as well? Because I actually want to talk a little bit about Steve Busch, because I asked a string of questions both for Matt and for Whitney in the previous webcast about how important Buescher was,
yeah,
like right down to the room keys, right down to the bottle of water and everything. So, Drew, I mean, you've taken on the mantle of being a team coach for Team Canada. How much did you learn over the years from Steve Busch and applied that to what you're doing here and now?
I mean, we've had the example of Steve from the very beginning. And, you know, when we got started, and Matt and I started more or less at the same time, it was the early 80s in Canada, and it was following the 79 Worlds at Toronto, at Center Island on the Big Lake. And Steve Busch was a key part of the team then, and he was the recent national team head coach. You know, it was a great Worlds. It was a well-attended event. There were historic performances from all kinds of, you know, new celebrities in water skiing, and one of them was Patrice, and the most important was Joel McClintock. Joel won the world overall title there.
And, of course, Pat Mesner with the women's slalom title, yeah.
That's right. So... You know, having Steve there from the beginning, when I met Steve in the early 80s, he watched me ski a set from shore at Swiss when it was only natural lakes. And just him giving me the time of day literally changed everything for me, because I believed at that point I had a shot. And, you know, you get that kind of acknowledgement, it was special. And so, you know, that really motivated, really inspired me as a skier. And then along the way, we've watched Steve's, you know, what he did to me wasn't unique. I mean, he's had that effect on just so many athletes in our program, all of the athletes in our program, actually. And so, you know, he's really set the bar high. And you know, every athlete in our program that hits the water, it's an opportunity. And I really want to teach. You know, I feel like I've done a decent job with Neely and Charlie. It's so easy to get caught up in how mad you can be after a bad round or whatever. But every single tournament round is only upside. I mean, who you are before the round, that's still who you are after the round. And the chance to go out there and win a round, that's just an upside. There is no downside. There's only upside. And seeing it as opportunity everywhere is such a key mindset, and it's really valuable.
And you were nodding your head in agreement there. I'm sure that you've had some comments there. We'll start off with you, Neely, about the impact of the profound impact that Steve Bush has had upon your competing at international level.
Yeah, so I just remember being little and wanting to be on Busher's team one day. That's what I thought of it as. I definitely wanted to follow my dad's footsteps, and I wanted to compete for Canada, honestly, because I wanted to be on Busher's team. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then I remember I was 12 years old. It was a week before the World Championships going to be held here in Santiago, Chile in 2013. Busher called me and he said, "Neely, like, what are you doing next week?" Said, "Well, nothing, Busher. School, cool. Practicing." He's like, "So you have been training?" I said, of course I've been training. He's like, "Well, for what?" It's like, "Nothing, but I've been training." And he's like, "Okay, Jarrett got hurt. We need you to come compete for us at the World Championships." And that was the coolest moment in my entire life, because I was 12 years old. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I got to come down here. I got to compete with Whitney, Brianne, Ryan. These are all Stephen Nephew. Who else am I missing? I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. These were people that I really, really looked up to. I got to come ski here. I ended up making the finals in tricks, and that's what really, really motivated me. And
that was in 2013, right?
Yeah, that made me who this, like, the skier that I am today.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I remember you in 2013 being this young, diminutive figure there, just taking that dock start and going through your tricking passes, you know, and you tricked fairly well despite all of that pressure and all of that expectation. Everyone looking around are like saying, who's this young Canadian skier that's come out the blue? And I mean that was a remarkable moment right here at Lago Los Moros. But I'm sure that you've had a tale or two with Steve Bush as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there wasn't really a time that I met Busher. You know, through my dad's relationship with him, he's always been a part of my life. You know, the most memorable, or the memory that I have most fondly with Busher is when I was in the car and I got a call from him saying that I made the Can-Am's team in Edmonton. And, you know, I was very young and that was the first team I made. And so that was, up at that point, you're training for one team it almost for your whole life, it seems, at that point. And so getting that call from him was something, and I was texting him that last night. It was something that I will never forget. You know, Busher's had an amazing impact on my life and some of my greatest memories in skiing and in the sport. He's been there. I like, whether it's been just showing up at the dock and Busher's been there through some of the winter sets, and or showing up at a tournament and being able to see Busher there, it's been amazing.
Indeed. And just moving forward, let's try and attack away a little bit from skiing at the moment. One of the facts, or at least one of the memories that I have of you, Drew, is actually you went to Stetson University, didn't you? And I believe got a legal degree or something like that, or am I a little bit off base with that?
I have a law degree from Stetson, that's right.
Okie dokie. And you're currently a real estate broker as your current occupation.
That's right.
So what was that transition like from what your original career path would have been so far as being an attorney to what it is currently right now for you?
Well, I have to say first, I studied at Rollins, and then that Neely's studying at Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
Rollins has a ski team, and they do very well, and they've got a great group of people, and she's really enjoying it. She's got some close friends, a great ski team coach in Mark Bedsell there, and she's a really lucky girl living in Winter Park. It's close to home, and so that's been special. It was my place first in the 80s, and now Neely's there. So that's
I great. Think I remember one of those team photos. I mean, there was Helena Shaylander on that team, wasn't there? The Larson twins. Jennifer Leachman was
Russell
on.
Russell Gay was my roommate. Freshman year,
Russell Gay was your move. Yeah. I mean that was just like a star-studded team, wasn't it? All the way back in
there
the
were
day.
Lots of great skiers, and some were great already, like Helena and Kim and the twins, and you know others were on the way. And Russell became great quite quickly, but it was just a super group of people who supported each other, helped each other, and really worked hard and really had dreams and aspirations and passion and pushed it. And those are the best environments. And you see it, you know, most of the athletes here at a big event like this come from, you know, just everything lining up and being with good groups. But we had that at Rollins, and it's nice to see they seem to have a good group there right now too.
Obviously, we're tacking away towards academics, and yes, mention was made of you, Neely, being on the Rollins team. How much time do you have left there?
So I'm going to graduate next December. So
next
about
December,
one more year.
About one more year. And how are studies going along so far?
It's awesome. I really, really love Rollins. It's been, honestly, a really awesome experience getting to ski at school with Mark. He has taught me so much. He really has. So it's been an amazing experience, and I don't want it to end.
Okay, Charlie, you're still in high school at the moment. As a matter of fact, you're going to be leaving here this evening, flying home, and then almost as soon as you step off that plane, you're going to be taking the SATs.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm a junior still at Windermere Prep, which is the school that my sister also went to. I'm taking the SAT on Saturday, and so it's a bit of a stressful time, but...
What's more stressful, slaloming out there or taking the SAT?
Oh, definitely slaloming. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess slaloming's not as stressful. I mean, I guess the stress has definitely started to decrease. You know, last year I was a lot more stressed when I was on the dock for Pan Ams than I was this year, which I guess is a good sign.
All right, then. So what list of colleges do you have?
UCF is the main one that I want to go to. You know, it's in-state, so it'll be more affordable, and then it is definitely still Central Florida, so it'll be great for skiing.
So UCF, it looks like, is going to be the one. Any more on that list or no?
That's the main one that I'm focusing in on right now.
All right, then. That must make you extremely proud there. At least staying in the state.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've worked really hard to get to where they are right now in skiing, and I think, you know, that choice will always be in front of you of whether you keep putting the effort in. And I think, I think it's a good choice to continue working as hard as you can at it. And, we're pretty fortunate. We run a ski academy and operate a lake at Isles of Lake Hancock where we live. And so we've got a great training situation. Both Neely and Charlie studying close by is super convenient, and it's been great.
Now, Neely Ross is majoring in business management over at Rollins right now. So for a business-minded person such as yourself, Drew, that must make you exceptionally proud that she's taken that tack so far as her academics are concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I think academics are important for anything you want to do. But, you know, it's just another list of life lessons. I mean, I think if you want to operate on people or you know, extract teeth, you probably ought to have the certificate to do it. Other degrees may not be so, you know, essential, but they're valuable. And, you know, knowledge is good, right? So go get it. Have
knowledge
fun.
Is power, as they say.
But ski hard.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, was it important for you, Neely, to kind of continue on from some of the academic philosophies that your dad instilled upon you?
Yeah, for sure. I just know that I always want to, during these years, be skiing as hard as I can, because we're only young for so long, and I definitely want to take advantage of this time, and I don't want to let school get in the way too much.
Okay, so obviously we're in 2022, and social media is absolutely everywhere. I mean, I mean, I see one site. I see you slaloming out there, Neely. You're posting every other day, it would seem, either on Twitter or on TikTok, or maybe not so much Twitter or Facebook or what have you. But I mean, I see all of these video clips that are attributed to you, either learning some new tricks or out there on the slalom ski, slicing and dicing it out there. So how important to both of you, and I'll start with you, Charlie, how important is your relationship with social media on whatever else you do out on the water?
Yeah, I think it is important because, you know, it's important to grow your brand as a skier. You know, you're trying to become an athlete, become a brand ambassador for companies, skiing companies, so it is definitely important to try to put emphasis on it. It's not something I'm as good as Neely, but it's something that I am putting emphasis on, and I think I'm seeing somewhat good results.
I see a marketing degree in your future. I can definitely tell. But what about that? Your response to that, Neely?
Yeah, I mean, I mostly just post on Instagram pretty much, but I don't know. I think it's cool showing as many people as possible what skiing is, and like Charlie said, I want to grow my personal brand and hopefully reach out to more sponsors and things like that. But I do want to grow my personal brand and show as many people as I can what our sport is.
Growing your brand, that just seems to be the catchphrase a little bit, Drew. I mean, did any of this occur to you back when you're in your heyday of skiing?
Certainly not. But as an Instagram celebrity, I can appreciate where they're coming from.
Indeed. And I mean, expand upon that a little bit, because I mean, obviously you monitor what Neely and what Charlie do out there online. I mean any parent worth his or her salt obviously keeps tabs on what's going on and making sure that everything is on the level. So I mean how important is being on social networking for you, for starters, because right now, I mean, you're a real estate broker. I mean, people reach out to you on Instagram more often than not, unless they call you directly. So tell us how important that is to you.
Oh, well, I think it's important in every part of life for it is. I mean, the direction has gone there for everything. But I mean, sticking with the skiing, I think I think Neely and Charlie have done a great job, and Neely's put an awful lot of work into Instagram. In fact, I like to quiz her a bit, like, Neely, what's more important today, this or Instagram? And she chuckles and says Instagram, of course. And she, you know, she works hard, and she's got she's really grown a large following, and has I think really done a lot for the sport by getting it out there. And I've been really proud of how she's handled it. I think. You know, I don't think there have really been mistakes made, and I think it's really hard to avoid making mistakes in it. And I really like that, you know, Neely's kept an image that I think we can be proud of her, you know, in. And, you know, I think it's gotten a lot of interest in, I mean, trick skiing's beautiful and slalom skiing's beautiful, and they're physical and dynamic, and showcasing it is just so important. And by working hard and doing it, you're really giving back.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned how it basically segues into promoting the sport a little bit, because everyone's looking for like this magic formula to try and better promote the sport and to elevate its status, you know. And obviously the top athletes have taken that task on board, and Neely especially with posting on Instagram. But in your opinion, and I know you've been outspoken on this, maybe not so much in recent times, but before that, what do you think really needs to happen to truly elevate this sport to a level that really truly showcases the best athletes in our sport right now?
I don't know. It's a tough question, and you know, I think that skiing has challenges. It's, you know, it's takes resources. It's not convenient. Okay. It takes fitness. it takes a lot of effort, okay? But the reward is there. It's worth it. You know, I notice a lot of people that, you know, once you start, you can't stop, and it's a great decision. So, you know, to me, I think social media, I mean, there are some of the top athletes that are working hard at it and really putting it out there are doing a great job. And I just want to see that continue. And, you know, I think we're seeing in the industry anyway, we're seeing a bit of a return to skiing, and, you know, definitely eyes are open to it. And, you know, I think we've got a good thing going. I don't think we need to be concerned with skiing becoming mainstream. It may be difficult for that to happen. I don't, you know, does it need to be a mainstream sport? I don't know. What is a mainstream sport these days? It's a passion that I wouldn't trade for anything. And I think, you know, I think there's a nice following out there.
You look like someone that wants to answer and plint in with your opinion on that one.
I mean, I don't know. I think there's always going to be ways to grow the sport. I think that I sort of agree with, you know, with the athletes becoming more popular and growing their following, the brand, that eventually the sport will become more popular on its own because it's bringing more eyes into the sport. You know, I think also what TWBC is doing, bringing more eyes onto the sport, is growing the sport immensely. You know, I think, you know, Vince and yourself are thinking of creative ways to grow the sport constantly. You know, I was talking to Vince today. I was talking to you and Vince today about ways that he was thinking of growing the sport, and it's amazing to hear. So,
yeah.
I think that it's on the right path, and I think time will.
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah, other people aren't going to take the sport seriously if the people within the sport don't take it seriously. So what you guys are doing is showing how.
That's a quotable right there.
Yeah. So it's just showing how serious we really do take this sport. You guys are making it look professional and very well done. That's what we need.
Okay, let's go to a controversial subject here. How about what needs to be done at institutional level? And I'm talking about the International Federation. I mean, in your cases, Water Ski Wakeboard Canada or any other governing body within the sport to try and grow it from their level. Because, I mean, the athletes can only take so much on board, but if they don't get the support where it's needed from that kind of institutional level, then things can fall apart really, really quickly. Drew?
Well, I think media is power, and I think whoever can package the sport, you know, will own the sport. So, you know, it's interesting. I think whether or not the governing bodies are really obligated to go down that road is hard to say. And, you know, I think IWWF having a hand in what TWBC is doing with the Pro Tour, I think is interesting. I think what, you know, some standalone historic events, perhaps the most cherished events, have done to perpetuate themselves is so important. You know, and as time goes on, you know, we'll see. But I think it's really difficult to criticize governing bodies that have worked so hard with volunteers that are so devoted. You know, and I know in Canada, we've really, you know, put a lot of work into the teams programs. We're you know, our climate's unfortunate. We're a relatively small country, you know, from a population standpoint, at least in comparison to many. And, you know, Canada spits out great skiers, and we do it because we work hard as a cohesive unit. And, you know, I don't really want to be in a circumstance where I don't really have anything to say negatively about politics. I just think it's incumbent upon everybody in the sport to continue to put a best effort in that way.
Okay, and in response to that, are you in agreement with that, Neely?
Yep.
Any more expansion upon that? No. I think it's pretty much been dealt with. And what about you, Charlie?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in full agreement. You know, I think everyone putting their best foot forward is all that we can do. And I think through that, the sport will grow immensely.
All right, then. So as we round off at this podcast, I'm going to go around the table a little bit and ask you the same question. Charlie, in 5 years' time, where do you think you'll be, both on the water or off the water, and in terms of those endeavors?
Well, I don't want to be setting goals of like wanting to be the best or anything. I just want to be skiing the best that I can. You know, I want to be competing on the pro tour level at a consistent rate, and I want to still have the joy for the sport that I do today.
Okay, Neely, what about you?
Yeah, honestly, the same as what Charlie said. I want to be skiing still, just going to as many tournaments as I can and just going for it.
Absolutely. And what about you, Drew?
Yeah, I mean, you have to enjoy the journey. And if you can, if your goal can be to perform to your potential and to find new paths to betterment, then you're succeeding. And that's all you can ever expect from yourself. And I think the results, you know, from a more sort of from the standpoint of just instant gratification, if you just want that you know, that feel good, you know, I've won this, those moments are going to happen, you know, when you're pushing yourself, you know, and really just trying to, you know, give it a best effort all the way along and do your best to find a way to enjoy that process.
Yeah, and that's a thing, and you actually mentioned it right there, the two words that seem the buzzwords, instant gratification. I mean, that seems to be prevalent in our society these days. People want it, and they want it quickly, and you know want it instantly, but it takes a lot of time to get from where you are to where you want to be. Isn't that right, Neely?
For sure.
Okay. For sure. It certainly takes a lot of dedication to make the dream work. And Drew, and just looking at the phone there. And
no, we're good.
We're good. Okay. All right, then. So we'll round off. Typically, I asked a guest who some thanks, acknowledgements, give them the opportunity to do that. But as I have three of you, let's start by going around the table. You first, Charlie.
Yeah. Obviously, thank you to my dad and my sister. But then I can't even think of a word to say thank you to Andrew Bergman. You know, he's a coach that I do a lot of skiing with. You know, he gets me ready for all these tournaments, and he's one of the best drivers and the best coaches that there is. And without him, you know, I don't want to speak for Neely, but I think both of us would be we wouldn't be the skiers that we are today or the people we are today. So,
all right, Neely.
For sure. Bergs pretty much pulls me skiing every single day. I love skiing with Bergs. I've learned so much from him, so a huge thanks to him. Big thanks to Charlie and my dad, and especially my mom, and also my boyfriend Pato and his dad Sergio. I've learned so much from them in the past couple years.
And what about you, Drew?
Yeah, I better stick with Lee. Lee is behind the scenes working on everything for us all the time, and it keeps things together. I'm quite amazed most of the time that the wheels haven't fallen right off. And so I've got to give credit to Lee. She's really done a lot. And I'm happy that Charlie thanked Bergs, because Bergs is in our business at the ski school. He works like an animal. He's so passionate and devoted, and more importantly, skilled and talented. And we're really lucky to have the best guy in the business with us.
And just because Charlie has asked me nicely.
And before I get yelled at too much, of course, thank you to my mom. Yeah,
I don't think you'll ever live that down, will you?
No, she really keeps me together, so... Yeah, that's one that I couldn't forget.
All right, then. From the entire Ross family, this is the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. Thanks a lot to Drew. Best of luck, coach, in the remaining portion of this Pan American Championship. Best of luck to you, Neely Ross, going out there in the tricks and the slalom event. And best of luck to you, Charlie, on the SATs. And we have another podcast coming to you very soon. But in the meantime, it is ciao. For now.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.